The Word of God says, "And as they led Jesus away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus." The thing that I was looking about this man's life that very seldom do we ever discuss him or talk about him was that he was a man who loved God. He lived about 800 miles away from Jerusalem, but he had planned to be there for the Passover. So he was looking for God. He was going to go and glorify God. Now, when he got to where he was, he's, of course, with millions of people standing around, you know, and he wasn't aware of what was going on in Jerusalem through Jesus. He had no idea what was happening. See, he had gone to worship God, to praise God, and that's what he was involved in. Now, the Romans had a type of thing that any time that they took a Jew and they told him to do something, he had to do it. He could not refuse them. And many times they had killed the Jews who refused. Yeah. Now, this man is there with his sons and probably his family. And all of a sudden, he's watching Jesus come by. And he's a bloody mess. You couldn't tell what he looked like because of how badly they had beaten him. A Roman soldier pointed to him and put the sword on his shoulder and said, "Pick up the cross. Help this man carry the cross." Now, I don't think that Jesus couldn't have carried the cross all the way to Calvary. But you see, God has a plan and purpose for each one of us. I don't know if you have had something difficult happen to you, or something hard, something that hurt. But I have been asked by a lot of people, why did God allow that to happen in my life? And I always tell them that if we could see the whole story from beginning to end, we might think differently or understand differently. Now, for you and I, one of the important things that we hear like to emphasize to people all the time is to read the Word. Get to know the Word of God. Be encouraged by it. Jesus used an expression that he said, "I eat bread that you know not of." The Word tells us also that his Word will not return void. Okay. Sometimes you might go to the fanciest restaurants and pay a lot of money for a meal and not really get anything out of it. Amen? And sometimes you might go to a little hole in the wall and the food is so tasty you say, "Man, I'm coming back to that place." Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You see, this man, to me, was being, God was looking to do something in his life. He knew and had a relationship with God, but he needed Jesus. See, the Word of God says that he meets our needs, you know. And a lot of times we are so busy looking different things and what have you, we miss the most important thing that God has shown us. But what happened with this man is that when the soldier put the sword on him, or the spear, he didn't turn around. The word doesn't tell us his thoughts, and it doesn't tell us what he said. But we know how he responded. Amen? You see, each one of us, every day of our lives, and wherever we may be, and whatever we may be doing, whatever circumstances may arise, we respond. Sometimes we act out. Okay, sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. If we understand the emotional part and the flesh part of this man was that he had control of what was going on because he didn't say anything. All he did was pick up the cross. And in the process of that, he got blood all over himself. Now, the word doesn't tell us a lot anymore about that. He took the cross all the way up, and when he got to the destination that they were going to put the cross up, at the end of it, and you don't hear about this man anymore. But in the book of Romans, there is a phrase that's used when Paul sends a message asking one of the brothers to say hello and reach out to this brother that was in this area where Simon was from. So the understanding that we have from them is that this or Simon's sons or his son. So somehow he got saved and his family got saved, okay? And in the process of that, they established a church and they loved Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, to me, that is a very important thing because a lot of times I've dealt with a lot of difficult situations with family members where people have had struggles with their families. Sons, daughters, husbands, wives, all kinds of problems. And they're hurting. The people are hurting that come. And they want to know, how can I help my son? How can I help my daughter? How can I do this? And the consistency is in telling them to trust God, to pray to God, okay, to read the Word of God, all right, to get involved with God. You see, this story doesn't tell us an awful lot about this man, but it does tell us what happened to him just by picking up the cross and his family got saved as well. You see, a lot of times we let the circumstances in our lives get overwhelming to the point that we lose sight of God and the circumstances become bigger than God. And that is not true. It's a lie. Amen? But how we accept that and how we allow ourselves to be either controlled, okay, by the situations or what have you, is really what happens. I was sharing at the Bible study this week. I was at Home Depot this last week, and I had been doing a large job, and I spent 3 hours in the morning selecting material and all kinds of stuff for the job with the owner of the job. And we went up and paid for it, and then afterwards I told them at the counter that I would be back to pick the material up, and I needed to go get a truck big enough to haul everything, and that I would be back. Well, when I came back, I went to the gentleman that had the responsibility of watching over the material that was there, and I told him, I'm ready to pick up my material. And he said, I'm sorry, but you have to get in line, you know. And I looked, and there was a bunch of people in line. Well, I had already spent 3 hours that morning going through and selecting everything, and now I was just going to pick it up and take it. I had already paid for it. And so I got angry. Yeah. And without thinking, I said something. And right alongside me, I had a helper, okay? And he was laughing. And he looked at me and he said, I ain't never heard you say anything. I said, so I turned around to the man and I said, look, I'm sorry for what I said, because I said, that's not me. I said, that was my flesh that got in the way. Please forgive me. I said, but I'm not going to get in line, you know. I said, you can rest assured that I'm not going to get in line. I said, call your manager. I said, I know him real well. I said, I'm here to pick up my material, and that's what I'm going to do, you know. And, but see, what I was thinking was how poorly I responded to something that really didn't amount to too much, yeah. And not only that, but the poor example that I was to someone that I asked God to help me to be a living witness of Jesus. Yeah. So, yeah, it becomes one of those things that we say, well, forgive me, Lord. And God will. Amen. Praise God. That's, yeah, that's great. But remember what you're here for. Okay? The Word of God teaches us, and I have a few scriptures. Would you turn to the book of Matthew 10:38? The Word says, and he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. The cross is simply the opportunity that God opens to us to do what Jesus did. Amen? You see, he didn't complain about it. He didn't get angry over it. See, he knew why he had come and the purpose and plan that God had for him to do what he had to do. Okay? And I think when we respond, okay, with our emotions, take a look at the people who have lost their homes in the fires, yeah? Who have lost family members. Okay? They have lost everything. Amen to that. I think sometimes when you look at that and you look at television, what have you, I always look to have somebody come and say, You know what? We're grateful and thankful to God that we're here. But I don't see that very often. Amen? And it's just something in our community, the Christian community, that we need to know and understand that Jesus had nothing. Amen? But he was what? Grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come and save us. Yeah. You see, we have a big thing going on with the Pledge of Allegiance and the football players and all of that stuff that they're doing. We have people who are dying for our country, and there's people here who never stop and think or are grateful for what they're doing so that they can do what they're doing. We have people who kill people. We have people who rob people, rape people, all kinds of different things. And, you know, they don't stop and think about all these people who are dying up there to help them to do what they're doing here. Yeah. It's important for us to understand that the circumstances of our lives, in whatever capacity they may come, we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit of God to help us, to strengthen us, all right? To help us to understand and go through those things. So we're not alone at all. And yet, when the circumstances come up, you forget about those things. Yeah. Now, stop and think for yourself how important it is that you have the Bible to read. And God gave it to you so that you can get to know him, yeah, get to know his promises, what he's doing for you. There's a scripture that I won't let you turn to it. I'll just share it with you. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you. Yeah, plans to help you and prosper you, not to harm you. Now, sometimes people come along and they want to blame God for everything that's going on in their lives. But they don't really know God. You see, because in my life, God has done more for me than I can ever repay him for what he's done. Not only that, where he took me from was a hole so deep in the ground, there was no light. And when he came down to get me out from there, he got dirty. Yeah. So when the opportunity comes up to be a servant, okay, to reach out to people, Lord, help me through your Spirit to think clearly and wisely about you and not myself. You see, because a lot of times we don't like what it smells like, what it tastes like, especially if it's going to hurt us. Amen? You see, this man, when they put the sword on there, he didn't stop and say, well, I can lose my life over this. Yeah. And it's the same way with us. We stop and we want to take a look at what it's costing us, but we forget that the reason that we can do that is because God has allowed it, given it to us. Yeah, whether it's your home, whether it's your car, whether it's money, whatever it may be. Yeah. Somehow, some way, yeah. Everything that we have belongs to God. Everything. Yeah. And if you don't understand that, then you have got to come to the point of understanding that, like the rich man that came to Jesus And he said, I have kept all the commandments. He said, fine, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the word said he left very sad because he had great wealth. But see, he allowed his God to be for him what he thought that he needed in his life instead of the real God that he really needed. Amen? And it's the same way with us. We get to positions in our lives where we start growing in something until something happens. And when something happens, then you kind of turn and I shouldn't have done that, or shouldn't have said that. You know, you say something wrong to your wife, to your kids. Your wife says something wrong to you. Whatever the case may be, your neighbor. Okay. I shared at our Bible study, there was a gentleman that I've known for quite a while, and he has a Muslim friend as a neighbor. And the guy's lived over 10, 15 years as his neighbor. And I said, have you ever said hello? Oh, no, I can't. He's a Muslim. And here he is at the Bible study. I said, what are you doing here? You know? And he said, well, I belong here. I said, no, you don't. You're out of place, man. I said, God said to love your neighbor. He didn't tell you Muslims. He said, love them, you know. And you see, this is the same way with us when we experience a difficulty in our lives. We forget all the good things that we have. Yeah, all the good things that God blesses us with over and over and over. The cross becomes heavy, especially when we have to bear it for somebody else. Remember the old saying from a long time ago, he ain't heavy, he's my brother? We need to put meaning to that, because that's what God put us here for. We need to understand God's ways and not our ways. We need to let go of the ways of the world, okay, and trust God. Because see, when this man came looking for God, can you imagine if somebody would have told him, your life is going to be on the line for that? Yeah. How could it be on the line? I'm going to go and worship my God. And I said, well, you don't know what's going to happen there. You see, we don't know what the day brings. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We can get together. We can celebrate. But I tell my wife, this thing with North Korea. I said, I trust God for one reason, because he loves us and he cares for us. I said, and if they do something to us, we're going to be out of here before it ever happens, because God's going to take us out. You know? Now, that's the way that I believe. And when I go to bed at night, I thank God that he's my shepherd and he's laying in the front door and he's not going to let anybody in, you know. We're getting to Halloween. Sometimes people get all kinds of weird ideas and what have you, but last night we had a celebration with our family, with my brother-in-law and his family and what have you, but everybody was talking about weird things that happen in their homes, you know. And my brother-in-law said, well, I heard something in the house. And he said, I went and got my shotgun and went to bed and waited for that person to show up. And I'm thinking about myself, because my neighbor does the same thing. He's got a gun right next to his nightstand. And he said, if you ever hear that gun goes off, Lou, come over. And I said, no, I don't want to come over. No, thank you. You see, When we say we trust God, do you? When you say you believe in God, do you? Yeah. You see, it's not a matter of you telling someone else. The Word of God says, by their fruits, you will know them. You see how you respond. How do you think I felt so bad? One word that I haven't used in over 20-some-odd years came out of my mouth. Yeah. And I felt so bad, I let God down. You see, not only did I say it to someone, but I had somebody with me that worked with me that I'm doing my best to encourage to follow the Lord. See, we don't need people to remind us. I thought you were a Christian. Sometimes the way is hard, but Jesus said it would be. You see, we're not here to walk on water. If God wants you to walk on water, walk on it. Okay? But a lot of times, you know, we're going to be in quicksand, and we need God to help us to get out of it. Yeah? And, you know, it's an important thing for us to really grasp, you know, the story of this man and where he went to and the idea and the plans and the whole thing that he had to go and celebrate God. Because, see, God was going to give him something else, but he didn't know what he was going to get. See? The Word of God tells us that all things happen for the good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose and plan. How are you going to find out the good things that God has for you unless you let that fire, purify that goal? Amen? It has to get it hot. It has to get it hot and hot and hot so that all the bad stuff comes up to the top. I don't know if you've ever worked in a smelter, but I did. And I know, I've seen with my own eyes what happens when you heat up metal and when all the impurities come to the top. It's the same way with us. The Word of God said it's in your heart. That's the issue. See, we want to put Jesus in our heart. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God in our walk, in our work, in our lives, in our marriage, with our children, whatever it may be. We need help to do it God's way, not our way. The Word says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, don't go at it your own way. Forget your plan and forget your purpose. Turn it over to God. If you do, you're going to find out a tremendous, tremendous blessing that God has for you. Okay? See, if you were to go back, when you get to heaven and you walk over to this man and you ask him about the church that started in their home and his kids being there, okay, how do you think he felt? Knowing that his kids were walking with Jesus. You see, and I share this because some of you might not have any children, okay? But when you go to bed at night, you stop and think about your children. And if you don't know where they're at, and you don't know what kind of problems and struggles they're facing in your life, you worry. You think about, boy, wish they knew the Lord. There is a peace and a joy that we receive, okay, that is beyond what people can explain. You see, we, my wife and I have a granddaughter, and she lives on the streets, and we love her. And my granddaughter, her sister, tells me, "Grandpa, I can't love my sister." I said, "You have to." "Yeah, but," I said, "no, you have to." "What do you mean?" I said, "Don't look at what's going on in her life." I said, "See, we all have made foolish and dumb mistakes." I said, "Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I said, "See, if we all were wise," I said, "it would be a different thing. But the word tells us that the wisest man in all the world, okay, Solomon, made a dumb mistake. God told him, don't do that, and that's what he did." Yeah. See. So, you know, stop and think the value, okay, the confidence, okay, the blessings that you get by reading the Word of God, by looking for God, okay, by praying to God. Turn to Matthew 16. I think it's 24. I have the three scriptures, so bear with me, but the word said, then he said, Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. How do you deny yourself? Have you ever come to a stop sign and you have to yield? You have to stop. Amen? What happens if you don't? You find out, don't you? Huh? I was watching Judge Judy, you know. And this lady, poor lady, man, and she was lost when she got there. But she ran a stop sign and hit the guy in the back, and she said, he hit me. I didn't hit him, he hit me. And I'm thinking to myself, man, and Judge Judy was trying to explain to her, it doesn't work that way. You see, you got to stop here. See, if you don't stop, it's your fault. Not only that, but you hit him in the back. You didn't hit him in the front. Yeah. See, and that's the same way with us. Somebody tries to explain to us, and we're trying to tell them, but wait a minute, you don't understand everything, you know. But you see, it's not a matter of explaining, okay? We need to yield. The word says, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, I've often thought how wonderful it was to be like Jesus, but it's very difficult for us. You see, we have this thing that's constantly, all right, getting in the way. Okay, and we have feelings, we have emotions, we have fears, all kinds of things. And they're alive and well. And the only way you overcome those is to ask God, like Peter, when he fell into the water, he said, "Lord, help me." Think on that, because I'll tell you what, if we want to call a neighbor, if we want to call our friend, and we discuss a problem with them, they're not going to resolve it for us. You see, the only one that's got the solution and the answer and the resources is God. See, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Yeah, I tell my wife, I said, we have to love our granddaughter. Someday, hopefully, God will bring something into her life and open her heart to him. And that's what we got to pray for. But when she comes here, let's love her. Don't worry about what she smells like, what she looks like. I know it hurts, see. Because, you see, when we hurt ourselves and we put ourselves into a bind and in trouble, other people look at us and they say, man, I feel sorry for him. Don't feel sorry. I'll tell you what, that's what Jesus said when they came to him. And remember when he told the people that were there, he says, feel sorry for yourselves out here. You know, see, because we all need help from God. Okay, we all do. And he's the only one that can help us. But we have to get to a point that we have to yield our will. Okay. And that doesn't come easy. Okay. That comes by practicing. That comes by doing it. Over and over again. When Joseph came in and the woman wanted to have sex with him and told him to get into bed, he said, I won't do that. I will not hurt my God. I will not go against my God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, hey, you do whatever you want to do. We're going to do what God, you know, we love God. And that's the way that it is. And they were young people. And it's the same way with us. We need to over and over and over go to God and say, Lord, I need your help. But if you don't do that, you know, and you want to live the way that you want to live, and you only think about God when you need help, it's a very poor relationship. Amen? You see, God loves you, and he gives you his best. It starts out with in the morning, when you wake up, he's blessed you with life, with a breath that only comes from him. All right? If you have a nice warm bed, he's provided it for you. You have clothes to wear, he's provided it for you. You have food to eat, he's provided it for you. Yeah, but I work and I do this. Who gives you the strength to work? Who gives you the wisdom? Who gives you the abilities that you have? Who gives you favor? Yeah. David got to a point in his life that must have been very difficult, because when he cried out to God, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Yeah. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, when we know what we need, and it's not silver and gold, it's not all that glitters, it's not I don't have time, okay? Your neighbor comes over and they're sick and they need a ride, and you don't have the time, make the time. You don't know when it's going to be your turn, okay? But God does. Amen. When I was a little boy, my mother did something that I couldn't understand. And I asked her one day. She helped a lot of people. She loved people, But most importantly, she loved God. And God blessed me to see her salvation. But when I was little, I asked her, why do you help so many people? I said, you don't even know them. And she kind of laughed and she said, someday you'll understand. And I, yeah, that wasn't an answer. One day my truck blew up and I needed an engine. And I came over to the house and I said, Mom, I need $2,000, $3,000 to go buy an engine for my truck because it blew up. And she said, well, let's ask God. And I said, I didn't come to ask God, Mom. I came to ask you. You see, and that's the way that we are. Amen? But you see, my mom told me I love to help people because someday you might need help and I want God to help you. I never forgot that. You see, I love to help people too because I have children and grandchildren and I have a granddaughter that lives out there in the street and she needs help. Hopefully, somehow, some way, God will give it to her. Yeah. But you see, we're here because God's got a purpose and a plan. God knows what he has for you. And when you read the Bible, you find out what happened to Job and what God blessed him with. Find out what happened to Joseph. Okay. Find out what happened to Samson. See, find out what God did. Because it took time in their lives for all of those things to work out. And it takes time in our lives for the same way. The Word tells us, don't be anxious about anything. By prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You see, God has everything for you, and nobody else does. Nobody else really cares for you like God does. You see, when this man and he was obedient to deny himself, his feelings, his emotions, his fears, he just picked up the cross and carried it. Pick up the cross that God puts upon you and commit it to God and to his glory. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ, okay, because he died on the cross for you. So the crosses that we bear, he puts out there for us to bear. Amen?